Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everybody to the show, it's Real Talk. Panel full of open minds, giving you real thoughts. You always gonna get the realness. We all entitled to opinions, don't get in your feelings. The further assassins, breaking it down. We bring on the next verse, scroll through our history. Here's some of our experts. May of 2013, marks the beginning. Passion and dedication, that was the engine. Shouts to Grip for producing the track. Pissing the recipe, and he came up with crack. Back to this Real Talk, you should really check us out. We're fighting voices for the people, this is what we about. Bringing skills and talented guests on from different places. Holla welcome, different views, different races. Hit the top, it's intriguing, we on it. It's Real Talk Radio, the best ones doing it. Instead of pick people's interest, going deep, got people's faces frowning like incest. Can't rock out with us, you got a thin chest. We make our name hold weight, that's the bench press. If you're an up and comer, this is where to be. You're gonna get a good look, that's a guarantee. That's just what we desire on. So if you think you're seriously funny, then you can ride along. Been podcasting for years with the veterans. It's one of those days we could be a medicine. Listen's got choices, it's all on them. Either check the store online or you can call on them. Doesn't matter your political views, you can call it how you see it. Say whatever you choose, there's no censor. It's all good when you rock with us. When they hear Real Talk, come chop it up. Conspiracy theories, Barbies, superstorms, online dating, that's the top that's really on. Why men cheat? Why women better at it? Why you black gotta witness so many foolish tragedies? Why you 30 still making twerk videos? Why narcissists victimize and want pity though? These are things that we all wanna know. Why you at the right place, cause we address it on the show. Models, actors, authors, rappers, singers, producers, atheists, pastors, shouts to supporters, helping us grow faster. It's all love, we embrace fellow podcasters. Sports, dating, family, politics. Other shows so they dig us, but won't acknowledge it. If we come together, we can make a union. It's Real Talk Radio. Welcome everybody to the show, it's Real Talk. Panel full of open minds, giving you real thoughts. You always gonna get the realest. We all entitled to opinions, don't get in your feelings. The further assassins, breaking it down. We bring on the next verse, scroll through our history. Here's some of our experts. May of 2013, marks the beginning. Passion and dedication, that was the engine. Shouts to Grip for producing the track. Pissing the recipe, and he came up with crack. Back to this Real Talk, you should really check us out. We're fighting voices for the people, this is what we about. Bringing skills and talented guests on from different places. Holla welcome, different views, different races. Hit the top, it's intriguing, we on it. It's Real Talk Radio, the best ones doing it. Focusing on top instead of pick people's interest. Going deep, got people's faces frowning like incest. Can't rock out with us, you got a thin chest. We make our name hold weight, that's the bench press. If you're an up and comer, this is where to be. You're gonna get a good look, that's a guarantee. That's put your diet on. So if you think you're seriously funny, then you can ride along. Ride the along. Podcast took for years with the veterans. It's one of those days we could be a medicine. Listen, got choices, it's all on them. Either check the store online or you can call on them. Doesn't matter your political views, you can call it how you see it, say whatever you choose, there's no censor. It's all good when you rock with us. When they hear real talk, come chop it up. Conspiracy theories, Barbies, superstorms, online dating, that's the top that's really yours. Why men cheat? Why women better at it? Why you blacks gotta witness so many foolish tragedies? Why you 30 still making twerk videos? Why narcissists victimizing want pity, though? These are things that we all wanna know. Why you at the right place, cause we addressed it on the show. Models, actors, authors, rappers, singers, producers, atheists, pastors, shouts to supporters, helping us grow faster. It's all love, we embrace fellow podcasters. Sports, dating, family, politics, other shows so they dig us but won't acknowledge it. Acknowledge if it. We come together we can make a union. It's Real Talk Radio, tune in, tune in, tune in, tune in, tune in.
Tonight's topic, 9/11 tribute, 20 years later, and we'll also be talking about the U.S. evacuating troops from Afghanistan. So, tonight on It's Real Talk Radio, we will be acknowledging the events that took place on September 11th, 2001. Our main goal for tonight is to celebrate all of the victims and brave hearts who sacrificed and lost their lives on this horrific day. So many first responders gave their lives or suffered major life-altering injuries. It's tough to revisit this day and watch so many innocent people lose their lives, but we must never forget. Here we are 20 years later and still left with many questions and concerns that were never addressed. This is part of the motivation to do this topic because we will still mourn the tragic loss of life on this horrific day and the family and friends of the victims and the family and friends of the victims deserve transparency. If you truly love America and the many great people in it, then you care wholeheartedly about the events that took place on 9/11. Hard to believe it's been 20 whole years. For those of you who were too young during 9/11 to remember or weren't even born yet, 9/11 is the reason why American troops were in Afghanistan before the recent pullout. The withdrawal of the United States military from Afghanistan was initiated by the 45th President of the United States, Donald Trump. Joe Biden, the current president, Donald Trump's successor, completed the process and has received a ton of criticism and backlash from both, Democrats and Republicans, with most coming from the right wing. Joe Biden was faced with a tough decision. Do you take back America's word and not withdraw the troops by the deadline, which will likely result in an all-out attack by the Taliban? Or do you keep America's promise and withdraw your troops to potentially save hundreds to thousands of lives? We also have to ask ourselves, was leaving a heavy military presence in Afghanistan in the best interest of the United States? Are you pro-left, pro-right, or pro-America? Time to get real. And with that said, this is Tay Real. I got my boy Bobby G. Say what
hey,
up, Bobby.
What's up? What's up, everybody? How's everything?
Yep. It's Real Talk Radio. And
Man.
So, Bobby, what's your thoughts on tonight's topic, man?
a very good topic, man. This is something that this is something that's going to be talked about from here on out. Like, this is something that, this is history. This is something that a lot of us experienced firsthand. You know, this is also something that maybe people who wasn't born yet already heard about. You know, it was just unbelievable. As for me personally, you know, I live in New York. You know, so, and not only did I live in New York, I lived in Brooklyn at the time of 9/11. And I actually saw, physically went on my roof and saw the first building with a big gaping hole through the first building. If I would have stayed
That's
on that
insane.
Roof, insane. I was. And I don't even know what to say. I was so, like, wow. I was speechless. If I would have stayed on that roof, I would have seen the other building get hit. I would have seen the collapse. So as soon as I saw, yes, my neighbor came to my door. He literally, my next-door neighbor knocked on my door at around 8:30-something or something like that in the morning. And he was like, yo, Bob. You know, he said, yo, Rob. Because, you know, they call me Rob. You know, my name is Robert. But, you know, Bobby is my nickname. So Bobby G for, and G stands for Gittins, by the way. You know, it's no gangster stuff. It's G, you know, G stands for Gittins. So, but anyway, so, which is my mother's maiden last name. But, man, so I went on the roof. We both went up to the roof, and there you have it. I'm look. See, because where I lived at, in Bedford-Stuyvesant, Brooklyn, you know, same neighborhood where, you know, Jay-Z come from and a lot of other people, you know, Biggie Smalls and all that. But anyway, so I'm on my roof looking at a big hole in the first building and smoke. And smoke just rising in the air, a lot of smoke, a lot of gas smoke. And my first thought was, because my son was, you know, he was in school that morning. And his school was north of the World Trade. Like, I would say, like, maybe, it wasn't right next to the World Trade. I would say, like, about two stops on the train. It's two stops away on the train, two stops. All right, on the train, two stops, which is not far at all, probably like a mile. And so I said, my first thought was, oh, man, I got to go get my son out of school. So here I didn't, that's why I didn't stay on the roof to watch, because I would have been getting treated for PT, what they call that, post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD.
Yeah, PTSD.
Right now. Yeah, I probably would have been getting treated for that, man. So I went downtown Brooklyn to, that's where the bridges are at, to go over into Manhattan, into New York City. So, but all the bridges, police were there, and they wasn't letting no one drive over the bridge, no one walk over the bridge, nothing. Like, you couldn't go into Manhattan. But a lot of people was able to come from Manhattan into Brooklyn. And, like, everybody, like, everyone that came over that bridge from Manhattan, like, was covered in dust. Like, you couldn't even see you didn't even know what color outfit they was wearing, because it was just covered in dust and that soot.
Wow.
No more of that 9/11 dust. Right. Everybody was looking like a ghost, like white. Had their face, their hair, like people who was there, they were covered in soot. And I was like, wow, look at this. I was like, oh, my God. And another thing is this. See, the World Trade Center, that's where all, like, a lot of the, like, airway, the antennas was at, so far as, like, television and all that stuff. So a lot of that went out because of when the buildings collapsed. You know, but I didn't know that. See, only thing I remember was a hole in one of the buildings when I went downtown. At that time, you know, we didn't have cell phones like the way we have it now. Or something that we can just go online and see what's happening. So the police told
me. Yeah,
wrestling
on YouTube and I'm like that.
Exactly. So the police told me to go over and stand by the Brooklyn Navy Yard, and people, and then there would be a bus or a van or something like that to come pick people up and take them in the Manhattan and go away. I don't know if that was the truth or if they were just telling me that just to leave, get away from the area. But here I am going over to, and that's also where the Manhattan Bridge is, right? That connects Brooklyn and Manhattan, too, because there's three bridges over there. You got the Brooklyn, Manhattan, and the further, well, those two are close together. Like, you can literally walk from the Brooklyn side, Brooklyn Bridge to Manhattan Bridge side in Brooklyn. But then there's another bridge called the Williamsburg, but that's further over in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, where the Jews are at. But anyway, so I'm over there standing by the Brooklyn Navy Yard. The Brooklyn Navy Yard is now, like, they film, De Niro now make movies there. It's like a film production place, the Brooklyn Navy Yard. It used to, people used to, like, you go there, that's where they would take your car at. If it got towed, you can go there and pay the money, whatever, get your car back. But if not, it was an auction. It was also a car auction there. So, but so I'm like waiting over there for like at least an hour. So I said, you know what? Nothing's coming. I'm about to head back. I talked to my son's mother and see what happened from her end, because she was in the Bronx and my son was in the hat. He was the one who took him to school from the BX, from the Bronx. So, but when I got, well, as I was about to, you know, head back to, you know, go to my apartment, like there's an area over there by the Brooklyn Navy Yard, right? And there's a way to go to the Manhattan Bridge, right? To go into Manhattan. And when you go that route, you can see the World Trade Center straight ahead. Like there's a, and you stand there, you can just look right straight into Manhattan and look at the World Trade. But as I was looking, I didn't see the World Trade. It was a little cloudy because of all the stuff that was flying in the air and the smog and the dust and the smoke. But I still should have been able to see the two buildings. And all I saw was smoke, fog, dust or something. You know, it was just cloudy. And I'm looking, I'm like, all right, I know when I'm this way, when I'm facing, about to head over the Manhattan Bridge, take this route or up this ramp, that, you know, I can see the World Trade dead straight ahead, and I didn't see anything. See, I didn't know at the time that the buildings had already, I didn't know until I got home. Like I said, when I left the house, I found out that there was a, I left the house, all I knew was the hole in the first building. You know, all I knew that there was a hole in the first building. I didn't know the other building got hit. I didn't know that they collapsed because I was in the streets. And there was no, like, way for me to come, unless I called somebody on a phone, but I didn't. You know, when I got home, that's when I found everything else out. And then I heard people saying that, you know, talking about it. I was like, wow, you know, that was my first experience so far, something like that, and like literally all my life, like so far as like something major like that happening, that was like, I never, to be honest with you, I didn't, like, you know, we hear about things that happened in the past, like, you know, like the Titanic or the Hindenburg, I didn't expect nothing like that major like it to happen where I live at, you know, in New York City or in America, period. Anywhere in America, but that happened, I was like, wow, you know, and it killed, like, I don't know the exact number, but I know it killed over, like, 1,000 people, it killed a lot of people, so that was crazy, you know, people were literally jumping out of windows from, like, you know, floors, because anybody that was above, like, where the plane or where it got struck at, there was no way else to get down. And then also it was on fire. It was the heat was so hot. It was so hot in there. People just decided to jump. Like, there was no way out. People were calling their family members and just saying, you know, I love you. This is it. You know, which is it. I love you, tell mom, I love her, tell them, whatever, my kids, I love them. And, you know, they told what happened, you know, it's been a disaster, you know, place center, and that's it.
Okay.
And, yeah, and people were jumping out of, like, the window, like, yeah, you can see it. Like, if you look at 9/11, you see little things falling from the sky.
You see it on the footage.
You see it on the footage that people was just falling out, jumping out the window because it was so hot that it was nothing else for them else to do, like, but to jump. That's the heat made people jump. Say people was on fire and they was just jumping and died. They knew they was out. People inside, you know, first responders and people who were there, like so many people who just perished that day. And it's so crazy because so far as with myself, right? And this was before 9/11. Before 9/11 back then, you know, I was literally training to become a fireman. I passed the written test. I was training with it's called the Vulcan Society in New York. It's the Black Firefighters, like, society, firefighters. You know, I was training, you know, crawling through simulated vents, running with big ladders and, you know, timing me to see how fast I can get this ladder up against the wall, big ladders that'd be on the side of the truck. You know, I was doing all the fire department training in New York. That's the way they do it. But I had my score was a 93. I got a 93 point something on the test, on the written test. And get this, they took people that had a score of 95 and higher. So I was frustrated for that. I was like, man, I got 93 and anyone, you know what I'm saying? They took people with 95 and higher. But you know what? It maybe was a blessing in disguise because maybe some of those same guys who, rookies, who were 95 and higher probably got caught up in 9/11 because a lot of fire departments from different fire departments in the city, any fire department, they all went to 9/11. Like, they all went to 9/11. So, you know, so it was probably a blessing in disguise. Even though I was frustrated that I didn't get in at the time. You know, like, I believe it was 2000 when I was training. And then, like, that next year was 9/11, you know. 2000, you know, somewhere around 2001. But then in September, bam, this happened. So I was like, yeah, I was like, wow. You know, it is what it is. It is what it is. Like, you know, so far as me, like, I was like, man, all I could do was think and say, man, that could have been me. Like, I literally could have been
right.
One of the first responders. Like,
I mean,
I literally, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, because you live in New York. So what if you became a firefighter? You said you had just took the test. You took the test or whatever the year before, right?
Right, and I was training.
You was trying to get
score,
into the fire department, right?
And my score was 93. I don't remember, a point something. And they just chose to take anybody who got a score of 95 and higher. So I just missed 95. My score was 93 point something. You know?
Mm-hmm.
If I contact Department of Citywide Administrative Services, I could probably go ahead and find out what my score was. I can look. They have my records, you know? So I can look back to all that. So,
It's a good thing you did miss it, because if you did become a firefighter, you know, you probably would have been
one of those
out
first
there
responders
to the building,
that got,
and then
right.
You could have been one of those first responders that perished
right.
During the collapse.
Right, exactly. I could have been in the building, running upstairs, trying
yes.
to pull people out, and boom.
That's a huge blessing in disguise, right? So
yes.
So let's get into it, like. Because, you know, we've talked about this on the show before. We've covered 9/11 several times. And it never gets old. This is the 20-year anniversary. As far as celebrating the heroes, the first responders, you know, those wonderful people that sacrifice their lives to try to save people, not just the first responders, but, like, literally people in the, that was just passerby that saw that people needed help and, you know,
exactly.
risked their lives or some lost their lives, gave their lives to help save people because the building was burning. Nobody had any idea the building was going to collapse. Like, you just don't see that. Like, they were saying, like, we've never seen a building just be on fire and collapse because it's on fire. Like, they say 9/11 is the first time in modern history that that we know of, that we have proof of, that a building collapsed from being on fire because a jet hit the a commercial airliner hit the buildings, but scientifically speaking, it's believed that jet fuel cannot burn hot enough to bring down a building. You know what I mean? To demolish the foundation of a building, of the building, in such a way to burn hot enough to break down like the beams and whatever, keep holds the building up. See, some years ago, I was, like, obsessing with it. So I knew, like, more than I remember now. But, like, the research and the science and stuff is out there, and it's not hard to find it. Oh, it might be a little harder to find it now with them pulling everything anything challenges. Yeah, censorship. We just had a show about that, you know, because you used to be able to find all these videos about the 9/11 and everything else. And for the fact that jet fuel burnt hot enough to cause a pancake effect where the building fell at free fall speeds was always in question. Then I've seen, like, slow motion videos of the building where it looks like you can see explosions. I remember literally seeing the footage of the firemen, New York firefighters, talking, saying they heard bombs. The actual firefighters.
Yes.
Saying they heard explosions before the building collapsed. Why are they hearing explosions before the building collapsed? You know what I mean? They said they heard explosions, like, on the lower floors, too. Like, how? The plane crashed way, way up, dozens of floors up. So how would you hear an explosion at, like, the bottom floors? Like, it's just a lot of questions and, you know, not enough answers. And the biggest one that's, like, a slap to every to the integrity of every American, it is amazing that, you know, through media you can brainwash people, like, so efficiently. How in the world did the other building collapse? What was it called? Building what? What building was that? What was the third building that collapsed?
I think it was building
3. I thought it was like building 15 or something. Let's see. Building 7.
Okay.
Yeah.
Building 7
refers to two buildings. And hold up, wait. I think that's what it is.
You're right.
World Trade Center 7 building did not collapse due to fire.
250 Greenwich Street. The address was 250 Greenwich Street.
Building 7.
How did that building collapse?
Right. Collapse at free fall speed, and it didn't even get hit by the airplane. They're saying that, you know, what the media was reporting was that the debris from the other buildings got onto that building and it caught on fire and eventually collapsed.
How does that sound?
All right. I've seen
burning buildings. Other buildings.
Everybody sees, you know, we all got. What was you saying about
when me? When does fire collapse a building?
Bobby, how many times in your life have you seen a building on fire? How many times in your life? Probably more times than you can remember, right?
Times. And it was still.
And have you ever seen a building collapse from being on fire?
No. I've never seen a building collapse from being on fire in my
ever.
Life.
Never. Yes, it don't make sense.
You
it don't add up.
Oh, let me just say this. I don't know if you remember. You probably know once I say it. But you got to also remember this. Before 9/11 happened, there was some so-called, independent contractors who did work in the basement. And it was all they had, and the area was they put stuff around where you can't see what they were doing. Like they put like these big rolls of plastic or something around where you cannot see white plastic or some type of material, and you didn't know what they was doing, but you heard machinery. And they say that it sounded like they were cutting the beams diagonally. Like, you know when you, when people really, you know when people take a building down, like with the, with the explosions and stuff? And look, you just heard explosion, right? You know,
yeah.
when they take down buildings, when buildings get, when buildings collapse,
yeah,
they take it down.
Like demolition thing, get together.
Demolition,
and
right.
They use dynamite?
Yeah, but before they use dynamite, they cut the beams diagonally so the building could fall straight down. Before they hit, set off the explosion, the building, the beams of the building, that holds the building up, right, is cut diagonally so that when the bomb goes off, it will just fall straight down.
Straight down,
all over the place.
Yeah, the pancake effect.
The pancake effect.
Yeah,
right? And that's what happened. You gotta remember something. When you look, anybody can go and look at the World Trade Center. They both all fell like that. They all fell like the pancake. It fell straight down. The pancake effect. So
that
was controlled demolition. But they want us to believe that. A fire came from this. First of all, that got hit, the planes knocked down the World Trade, but then fire and debris fell on Building 7, and that's why that building collapsed. Oh, you come on, really? I know people are not people like that, but that's just crazy. And I love it. In my school was right. One of the buildings of my school. BMCC got wrecked from 9/11 too. I couldn't go to college. I had college school that night. I went to school at night, BMCC, which is like right there by the World Trade, a couple blocks away. So, and I couldn't go to school. School was shut. As a matter of fact, the school was used as like a help station, like to help people, help people from 9/11. And one of the buildings got destroyed by 9/11. That was closest, one of the buildings that was closest to the World Trade got damaged. It's fixed up now, but at that time, yeah. Google BMCC, Borough of Manhattan Community College, in 9/11. It'll show you can, anybody Google that and you'll see what I'm talking about. One of the buildings got destroyed. So just Google it. Yeah, I was going to school that night. I was going to school for computer science. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Let's look like we got a caller. Your code 323. You had an opinion on 9/11.
Yeah, I'm here because I feel like joining in the conversation. You guys
mind? Oh, Joe.
Yeah.
This like
hey,
a different
hey,
is the same number you used to call from?
No, it's a different it number.
It's like a different number. I thought, yeah, that's why I know
it's a different
you.
Number.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
What's good, Joe?
Yes. Yeah, so 9/11 was a farce. It was an excuse for Americans to go into Afghanistan, Iraq, to stick the Pentagon's nose into everybody else's business. And everybody knew at the time, everybody I talked to at the time, they weren't that fooled because everybody I knew said that in Iraq, everybody went over to Iraq for oil. It wasn't over there to try to, you know, find the Taliban or find the people who flew into the towers. Everybody knew.
And the nuclear weapon that they never found.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
weapons of mass destruction is what they called it, yeah.
Yeah, the weapons of mass destruction, yeah. Mm-hmm. Nobody believed them. Well, I can't say nobody. I'd say a lot of people believed them, but a lot more people didn't believe it. And I even had video. Now, remember, the 9/11 happened on, let me see, was it 2000 or 2001? I forget.
2001.
Right.
Do you know that year, because I think they went into Iraq in 2003, right?
That sounds about right, somewhere around, yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. Do you know in 2001, remember when Condoleezza Rice and... what was Powell's first name? He was the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I think he was the Secretary
Colin
of
Powell.
Defense. Colin Powell.
Colin Powell.
Yeah, they both made videos in 2001 that said that Saddam Hussein did not have weapons of mass destruction. 2 years later, what happens? All of a sudden, Iraq is our worst enemy. Saddam Hussein is the worst person since Hitler. And
yep,
they go
yep,
over there.
I remember that.
Jesus Christ. I'm telling you,
anybody
who believes in the government, man, I'm telling you. I had a talk with a guy tonight. He was over in Afghanistan. And he's a liberal. So he believed that Bill Clinton balanced the budget. He didn't like Trump that much. But we got along. You know, everything was cool. But it's just that what we had in common is that we're both vets. So we talked about that. But the fact that American soldiers, boys, have to die to fulfill the obligations of greedy motherfuckers. God damn.
Right.
Yep. That was crazy.
It is crazy. It's crazy.
Yep.
The whole thing is like...
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, it's crazy because it don't matter what type of proof or evidence you put in people's faces. I mean, you can even play secret recordings that you got your hands on of politicians or whoever,
Janie.
Like admitting things.
Yeah.
And they will still, they're only going to believe what the media tell them. Like, it's crazy. It don't matter how
That's
much
right.
evidence you got. We have so much evidence for 9/11 that was all BS. But, you know, they just say you're a conspiracy theorist and you're just like a tinfoil hat wearing kook.
Mm.
And that's just how they just dismiss it. But it's like, it's almost asinine how, like, that much evidence could be in our faces, and then people get a hold of the evidence and present it, and nothing happens. Like, where's the federal investigation of, like, something that killed over 2,000 people? You know what I mean? Because then the part that tripped me out is the whole Pentagon thing. It's like, there's no proof that a plane actually hit the Pentagon. It's like,
exactly.
Why is there no... The wings, like, you know how wide a plane is, and if a plane runs into something, you're going to see a big, long, like, hole of, like, where the wings would have hit. First of all, how do you get a commercial airliner? How do you, as big as that thing is, how do you even maneuver that thing to be able to hit a short low to the ground target like the Pentagon? Like, how efficient would you have to be maybe one of the top powers in the world or something, to be some crazy person from over in Afghanistan that doesn't even know, probably can barely speak English, doesn't have any real flight experience to be able to maneuver a plane like that? And don't forget, they said what the FBI, I believe, confiscated all of the surveillance footage of like the gas stations and
right.
all the areas. So all the surveillance footage that would show the plane hitting the building, it's not there. So how do you don't find a jet engine, you don't find a black box or nothing, no signs of the wings hitting it or nothing.
Right.
And so what the evidence seems to conclude is that some type of bomb actually happened, not a plane hitting the building, which is crazy.
Or something. Right.
Yeah, like, yeah. Right. They said that too, a bomb or a missile. Like, a missile was either fired there or a bomb. You know what I mean? And
right.
It's just like, that's
right.
Crazy. How can, man. Right in front
but
of
you
also
got to remember this too.
It's crazy.
How could these so-called planes do what they did to the World Trade? Like, wouldn't that be seen on the radar? Like, who was? They say that the people that was in the towers, nobody was paying attention. The people was like just doing other things. All of a sudden, like, turned their head on all this stuff. Like, they all turned their head. No one saw anything. You know, while planes was flying into the World Trade supposedly. So that's another thing. So this, the way.
And how did they find the passports? The plane goes into a building, all these explosions and all this stuff. And of all things, you find the passport of the hijackers on the ground.
That's all BS. Come on, how are you gonna find?
It's recognizable.
That would burn. You can't find passports in the wreck where there was a big fire.
Man,
that is retarded.
I'm trying to tell you.
People believe that. I don't even know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know what to say, man. I just don't know what to say.
People do believe it.
Yeah,
I had a discussion like 3 or 4 years ago. I had a debate about it. Once the guy told me that he believed that the passport, which had no dust on it, wasn't singed, had no damage to it, that was what they found. But the plane, which supposedly hit the towers, no bodies, no blood, no chairs, the aluminum, I don't know if they found the outside of the aluminum. They couldn't find anything related to the plane itself, but they found a very pristine passport. So when I had this debate with the guy and he believed that, I just said to him, yeah, you win. Because I knew I wasn't going to say anything else that was going to make a difference. I said, you win.
Yeah. You would drive yourself crazy trying to convince somebody, ignorant person of some common sense things. You're going to drive yourself crazy.
Right. So you might as well not even say nothing. Don't even debate on it. Don't even argue it. Some people are going to just believe what they believe, so why argue with them? They're never going to listen to logic. Right.
Yeah, I never argue anymore. Or rarely. I just state my point of view.
I'm done.
I just say you win, or I don't even bother trying to convince people of anything anymore. I just go.
Just move yourself.
Present my particular point of view. I make it as logical as possible so that in case anybody who is following does have, a sense of logic, that they can realize that my point of view is very logical and the other point of view isn't. But I'm not going to convince anybody. I don't think I've only convinced one person on BTR. This guy says to me that I influenced him in some way. I forget exactly how, but I was given some kind of advice. I think it was political. This is about maybe 8 years ago or so. And he's the only person who ever said to me that, you know, it was because of you that I now think in this particular way. But outside of that, you know, either we are preaching to the choir or we are preaching to people who will never change their minds. So I never argue. I just go, okay, you win.
That's where I need to get to. I need to, like, you know, get to that place where I'm able to just, you know what? All right, you got it. Like, I can do it sometimes, but not enough. You know what I mean? I need to do it more frequently because I save myself more headaches sitting there going
right
back and forth with somebody that's not going to bend. They're not going to change their mind. Their mind is already made up. It's a pointless debate. It's pointless.
It is. It is. So, like I say, you know, I've given that up a long time ago. I don't mind debating somebody, but if I come across somebody who doesn't know that 2 + 2 = 4, or if they interrupt me, you know, then I piss them off and they mute me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way it is.
Yeah,
that's the way it goes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. So we realize that, of course, 9/11 and the whole Afghanistan war, the war in Afghanistan, what they call it, you know, which eventually led to them going in Iraq and everything, and then the troops stay in Afghanistan for 20 years. Here we are, 20 years later, 9/11 2021 marks the 20-year anniversary of 9/11. So that would mean that it's been almost 20 years that the troops have been in Afghanistan. I remember like it was yesterday because I was young. I was only a teenager back then, so I just believe what I saw. So I was like, I was outraged, and I felt more patriotic than I ever did in my life. And I was like, man, we got to attack them. I want to see Afghanistan in flames.
Yeah.
Like, I was one of those people. And I remember, do y'all remember? They had live coverage of the United States shooting, like, you know, attacking Afghanistan, and everybody was cheering, and everybody was happy. And it was this whole moment of like, yeah, we're getting revenge. And we was just so naive, so ignorant. We didn't have access to, like, there was no YouTube. There was, like, the internet was there, but the access to information was nowhere near what it is now. So you weren't already a person that was kind of connected in that way where you just knew how to dig and, you know what I mean, knew how to get access to information and stuff like that back then. Then you ain't know, you know. So I had no idea. And I didn't find out until years later when a friend showed me a documentary. I forgot the name of it, but it was my first introduction to the whole 9/11 thing and some other stuff. And then that's when I was like, wow. But I remember. I remember when they attacked them. I even remember now. I don't know if y'all remember this. I remember when they had Saddam Hussein talking, and I think he was on, like, what show was that, like, Nightline or 2020? One of those
probably
radio
Nightline
shows.
Yeah,
he
Nightline
said he extended the offer to sit down with then-President George Bush to have a sit-down to talk things out because, like, you know, there was some misinformation and things that weren't true. He was like, man, we can, you know, sit and have a friendly political discussion and iron things out. And George Bush declined. I don't know if y'all remember that, but he was like, they said the White House declined. Like, nah, we ain't talking. We not talking. There's nothing to talk about. And then next thing you know, the troops are in Iraq, and next thing you know, Saddam Hussein, I think did they hung him or something? Did he get hung? Did he get shot or hung?
I forget now.
I
remember they found him in a rat hole.
Shot.
And he had like $1 million worth of American currency. They put him on trial. They didn't give him a chance to really speak. And I don't know if they imprisoned him or hung him. I forget.
Oh, you talking about?
Yeah, I know they definitely
Saddam
killed him. Definitely killed him. I do know that. Yeah.
About Saddam Hussein? Didn't
the
Navy SEAL go in and shoot him? Didn't the Navy SEAL go?
Hey, that was Osama bin Laden.
Oh, bin Laden. Yeah. Right, right. Okay, you're right. Okay, I got it.
Yeah,
right.
When they said the secret team to go
and get this.
Yeah.
And get Osama bin Laden, after he was supposedly killed and everything, all the Navy SEAL guys who went in they got killed.
Right.
All the Navy SEAL guys that went in are dead. It's a cover up.
Yeah.
You know,
they all got on one helicopter.
Yep.
And it was against protocol. You're not supposed to have that many members of a special forces team on a helicopter, is what I heard. But they got them all, supposedly like 6, 7, or 8 of them, you know, and they weren't supposed to be all the men. All of a sudden, the helicopter crashes, and all of them die. So
I did not know that.
You know. Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. Do y'all remember them saying, like, Osama bin Laden had, like, lookalikes and stuff? And so, like, the real Osama bin Laden...
That's exactly why I said that. Because you never know.
Was never really killed.
That could be a lie, too. Right.
Yeah.
And wasn't Bin Laden friends with Bush? Wasn't him and Bush?
I never
said
he was in America just recently, right around the time of 9/11.
They say that he was hiding out at the Bushes when that stuff happened. He was at the Bushes. Like, they literally said he's not even
family friends.
He's in America. Yeah, they were friends, family friends. The Bushes, you gotta remember something, man, the Bushes been around for a while. Remember, one of the Bushes was part of the Bank of New York, and he was laundering money for Hitler back in the days. One of the Bushes.
Prescott Bush. He was a granddad.
Prescott Bush, right.
He was doing something with IBM. He was monitoring the Jews that were in concentration camps. He was on the side of Hitler in some way. I forget exactly.
He was laundering money for him from the Bank of New York. He was laundering money for Hitler. That's exactly what he was doing. Yep. And then you got Bushes, out in Florida. Like, the Bush family is large. And that's why I think the Bushes has a lot to do with 9/11.
Okay.
Who was in office when it happened? Bush Jr.
Yeah, with George.
You know? George Bush Jr.
Did you know that 2 years prior to the coming down of the Trade Towers, Twin Towers rather, that the Bush family was in charge of the security of the Twin Towers? So they would have access to all those particular points.
Say that again. You see what I'm saying? Is this what I'm saying? See, but everybody wants to believe the mainstream media news. But when you know who's behind the mainstream media news? And another thing is this. If you ever go to these different stations, they're all telling us the same stuff. It's like they're all reading from the same freaking whatever, the same whatever they read from. They are. Yeah, the teleprompter. It's like they all read from the same teleprompter. Exactly. So you gonna listen to that?
They have the same life. So they have 10 or 14 other stations, you know, like in the Northeast market, like New York, Philadelphia, New Jersey, and maybe even in L.A. The anchors are reading the same slogans, the same terminology.
Thank you.
It is almost exactly alike. You can go on YouTube and they have a compilation of what the anchors say. And there's something, you know, and it's crazy because they all said the same thing. And you wonder, these are supposed to be competing networks. But, you know, only 6 companies control all of the media in the United States. So if only 6 companies control the newspapers, the radio, the TV, not the social media, then, you know, almost everybody
Walt
is working
Disney.
For the same people.
Walt,
yeah,
Walt
Disney
right. controls all that. That's one of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something.
The news. Yeah,
that's something when you sit here and you really think about it and you start to break this stuff down. You're like, hold up, Hold up, this ain't right.
Oh, yeah. You start looking at stuff differently when you understand something. Right, you start looking at things totally different. Right.
Joe, I got a question for you. I got a question for you, Joe, with you being, you know, conservative and everything. So, like, what were your thoughts on, like, George Bush? Like, did you think that he did a good job? George Bush Jr.
George Bush Jr. and senior were both assholes. I'm not a conservative. I'm a libertarian.
Junior and senior, it doesn't matter. They both were assholes.
Doesn't matter. Prescott Bush, George Senior, George Junior. How about that
George
asshole
Bush,
George Senior when he says, "Yeah," he goes, "Read my lips. I will not raise taxes." Everybody's taxes go up. Fucking asshole.
Exactly.
He was in charge of the first war, the 1991 Gulf War.
Oh, the Gulf, yeah. The Persian Gulf War.
You see the Gulf War? My brother, like all my brothers was military, army, and my nephew was a Marine. But my youngest brother, the day he was supposed to go to the Persian Gulf War, the date he was supposed to head out, the day before that date is when the Persian Gulf War ended. So he didn't have to go. But then he wound up going to Germany.
Thank God for that.
Yeah, but he died in Germany in a car accident. Going back to base.
Wow.
In 1991. Yeah, 1991. But yeah.
Right.
So, yeah. So.
Wait, now Joe, you said you're a veteran, Joe?
I'm a vet, yeah.
I did not know that. What branch?
Air Force.
Oh,
Air Force,
wow.
Veteran. I did not know that. All these conversations we've had. You never even told us.
Air Force. I think most men over 45, they are vets.
Yeah, in some way.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah. Luckily, I didn't have to serve at the at the front, or in country, or at Iraq or Afghanistan.
Good.
But
good.
Yeah.
My brother. My older brother. He did 20 years in the military and retired, and now he's down in Georgia. Yeah, but he didn't. I don't think he's been through it. Yeah, he's been everywhere. He's been in Hawaii, stationed there. He was also stationed in Germany, stationed in.
I was about to ask if he was in Germany.
Yeah, he was stationed. Yeah, he had a nice girl out there. He was supposed to get married. I don't know what happened, but then he got shipped to. I think that's when he got shipped to California, to Port Ord, and then out in Seaside, California, Monterey. He's been in. He's been everywhere: Jersey, Texas. I forgot what. Fort Worth, Texas. All over the place. But he's now retired and just living, enjoying his life. And
good to get
Georgia.
That pension. It's good to
right,
get that pension and get
there
out.
There you go. He's getting the pension.
Yeah.
And plus, he's
yeah.
a business. Oh, yeah. So that's good.
Wow. So, go ahead, Joe.
It's good if you go into the Army or the Navy or any of the branches. If you go in there very young and stay in there for 20 years, you can come out like when you're 37, 38, 39. You've got money coming in, and you can still go and work
do something
in the
else.
Private
there
sector.
You go.
Yeah,
and
you can either become an entrepreneur or
that's what he did.
I don't. Well, yeah, you know.
That's exactly what he did.
So
he went,
it's good to have that money coming.
He went straight out of high school. After he graduated high school, straight in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
Right, straight in the military. Just 20 years. Yeah.
So he was 37 when he got his pension. He's young enough to start his own business. And if he wanted to, he could have gone back to college to get a degree in something. You know, go there at night.
Exactly.
He
got degrees while he was in the Army.
Education. Operation
for
Bootstrap, probably. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what
something
they call
like
it. He was first he was in MEDAC. He was doing like the dental stuff, like doing like he was an old hygienist, but he was in the medical field in the Army.
Wait, hold on, Jeff. Now you said you consider yourself to be a liberal?
No, a libertarian.
Libertarian. Okay, so I don't know a lot about politics. So break that down.
Oh,
so,
okay.
What's the difference?
A libertarian.
I'm new to politics.
That's the third political party. That's an independent political party. There's the constitutionalist party, the libertarians, and, you know, some other independent groups. So I'm a libertarian because a libertarian believes keep government out of our business, stop spending money the way that you do, no wars, protect us, don't go overseas and pretend that you're trying to bring democracy to another country when in actuality you're trying to steal the resources and you're getting people died, getting people killed.
Facts. That's
so,
big facts.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at that at all. That sounds more like my type of way of thinking too than this madness.
It makes you wonder who's the real. It makes you wonder who's the real terrorist, right?
It's the government.
Mm-hmm.
The government.
There you go.
The government. The government
the
has
government.
Sterilized American women against their will and unknowing to them. And they did it recently. They only stopped doing it something like 1974. And it wasn't just black women. It was white women. It was women across the country. They've, Tuskegee, they've allowed people to have syphilis and didn't treat them. They're slavery.
Right, the Tuskegee airmen. The airmen, right. I remember
that. No, not the airmen. Tuskegee, that's when they allowed black people to have syphilis. They knew that the black people had syphilis. But they didn't inform them of syphilis, and they monitored them
for years.
Right, they
did like a research study.
Right.
So it was some type of
they were guinea
research.
Pigs.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right, not the airman. You like it. You like experiment. Right.
Oh, the Tuskegee Airmen. They fought in World War. They fought in World War II. They were pilots.
Right. They
so
were
they're
black
famous.
Pilots.
They're famous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're on the front line. You know, a lot of people, you know, of course, you know, a lot of blacks were on the front line. You know that. But, you know, hey, what they had to do. Yeah.
So. In Vietnam, they had nothing but blacks and brown people on the front line dying, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, our government, you got to look up a word called democide. Democide is... Excuse me. Democide is the killing of one's own citizens by one's own government. And democide, from what I understand, is the leading cause of death in the world, more than wars and more than natural death. Well, maybe not natural causes, but more than a disease and more than war. It's citizens being killed.
What is that word you said?
Democide, like demo, and then CIDE, democide.
Oh, democide.
Democide. Okay, look that up.
I think that's in Wikipedia too.
Democide is a concept proposed by U.S. political scientist Rudolf Rommel to describe the intentional killing of an unarmed or disarmed person by a government agent acting in their authoritative capacity and pursuant to government policy or high command. In this Wikipedia, you're right.
Wow. Drop the knowledge, Joe.
Mm-hmm. That's how you do it, Joe.
Yeah,
thank
I mean, sure, politics is when you get into it. See, when I was years ago, until the net came along, I wasn't interested in politics at all. I wouldn't buy a newspaper except on Sundays. I just wanted the magazines and I wanted the comics because I thought that during the week, I knew what was happening. Somebody got killed. Somebody got shot. A bank got robbed or a bank almost got robbed. There was a shootout over there. Somebody got jailed for swindling. There was an embezzlement ring coming over there. The mob was over there. So I said, I'm not interested. Then the internet came along, and I started doing a little bit of research. Then I did a little bit more research. Then I did a little bit more research. And I realized just how fucked up the American government is and what they've been doing to the American people, how they've been lying to us, how they've been killing us, how they've been using us for experiments. You should go to the National Security Archives. That has the classified government documents. You can take a look at them, and then anybody who says, well, you're a conspiracy theorist, you can tell them to go fuck themselves, because the National Security Archives.
Exactly, Joe.
Because,
exactly.
Right. Because if you're looking at declassified documents by the government itself admitting to what they've done in the past, like the overthrow of the Shah of Iran, they've admitted to it. The Bay of Pigs, the Northwoods false flag. You take a look at on that site, and you take a look at the history of American intervention, the war that it started, the deceit. And it's the classified documents. In other words, it comes straight from the government itself. It's not like somebody's writing a book and trying to convince people that this particular situation happened. This is the government admitting that it did certain things.
Wow, that's something. That is crazy. But I'm not surprised because, everything that's been going on, like, who else can be behind a lot of this stuff? People in power, who else can be behind it? Nobody else can do it. So it's crazy.
The politician is responsible for all the ills that befell America. They're the ones to pass the laws. Oh, and by the way, Senator Conyers, or Congressman Conyers, and then there was a Senator DeMint from North Carolina. He got out of politics about 4 or 5 years ago. They will admit that the congressmen, the senators, they don't read the bills that they pass. If the bill has like 1,000 pages, they're not reading it. The staff might read it. Then the staff tells them, sign over here, sir, or vote for this particular amendment, sir. And they get money from the lobbies and the special interest groups, and they get it legally. But what the special interest groups, the lobbies, do is bribe them by contributing to their campaign funds and their foundations. When you dig deep into politics, your fucking head will swim about how fucking deceitful all governments are. And that includes the American government. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. I don't trust a thing the American government says.
That's crazy. Because, you hear about how we always, there's always talks about how great this country is. And let's be real, compared to other countries, we got it pretty good, let's admit, right? But at the same time, it's so much BS that goes on, so much deceit,
right.
So much, wickedness, And mostly higher branches of government, because, government has changed. In the lower levels, I feel like they're on the outside looking in. I feel like the people in the lower levels, like the people that work at the little offices and stuff, like the Social Security, for instance, stuff like that, they don't have no idea what's going on upstairs. They're just doing their job. So it's not like everybody that's got that's employed by the government is in on it. It's the higher ups, the ones that make decisions, the ones that pass laws and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy. It is really crazy.
When you do your research, you will be amazed at how deceitful, how underhand and nefarious. And as you said, wicked, people call them evil. I tell you what, tune in to Alex Jones any given night. Tune into his podcast. That's the real deal. You will not believe.
I used to listen to Alex Jones before they blackballed him.
See what you just said?
Check Alex out.
But
man,
he was telling people the truth. That's why. They censored him.
Yeah.
Even though he's
I don't agree with everything Alex Jones said, but I'll tell you one thing. He was dropping some gems, though.
Yeah. He was the one who shared the information about Bitcoin back in like 2007, 2008. And then now look what happened to Bitcoin. But now El Salvador is now made like Bitcoin or Coinbase, the cryptocurrency, legal tender. And
it kind of
dropped now. But now the SEC wants to sue Coinbase because of the that USD coin that they have on Coinbase, giving people 4%. When you open an account in a bank and you only getting point something, not a percent or one, not 1, 2, or 3, 4%. And now, so you know, basically, what bottom line at the end of the day, they're losing money. They know that they're going to lose money in the future. So now they're trying to go against these decentralized people, you know, companies, and trying to impose themselves on. They will. They're trying to sue. They're trying to, you know, because they know they're going to start losing money. The dollar is going down. The dollar is what you call that? It's going down. It's being becoming more, less and less value. You know, so it's just you know. But I'm going to hold on to my cryptocurrency that I have on Coinbase. I'm not going to do anything. I want to hold on to what I don't have much, but I want to hold on to what I do have. My little alt coins and Dogecoin or whatever, a little piece of Bitcoin. I'm going to hold on to a little because they coming out for a reason. So for anybody who has that, hold on to it.
Well, hold on, because we got a caller.
Okay.
I want to see what this caller is talking about. Area code 909. You had a question or a comment on 9/11 or the troops evacuating Afghanistan.
Hi, good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
I'm Suzanne, calling from Southern California, and yes, if I may comment, I would love to.
Please, we're all ears.
No, I don't know. We can't, as far as the inside job on 9/11, but there are questions that need to be answered that were never answered as to what happened to Building 7. Why did that collapse when nothing hit it? Also, how does a plane disappear in Shanksville right into the ground without a trace of people, engines, debris,
point.
Or anything else? How do you crash into the Pentagon with a wingspan that was way bigger than the hole that they claimed that it made?
Bobby, they're
and
not
also
just
the
saying that,
and everything else disappeared.
Yes, you're saying the same thing I said earlier. That exactly, we on the same frequency. Exactly, those are some real logic, legit questions that need to be answered. That never were. Exactly.
And then they allowed trading that day out of Chicago, here at the Sears Trading Center, because of course the towers were, you know, under attack, so to speak. But why did they allow the trading to continue if it was so devastating? And that was because a lot of transfer of wealth happened that day, and it was not recorded. They let those laws and regulations and policies that people have to trade by go that day, just supposedly to keep the economy going, which it would have been just fine, you know, after we returned to normal day's work. It just would have been out of Chicago. But this day they decided to let the regulations and policies go, and so they had a free-for-all. And so big money was transferred that day.
Wow.
To piggyback off of what you were saying about what's going on with the trading, there were put options.
Mm-hmm.
I forget how many millions of dollars which were done that day because somebody or a group of people had thought that what was going to happen at the World Trade Center was going to happen. And as a result, they acquired a few million dollars, I think, before the SEC stopped trading. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was a lot of shady stuff going on that day.
Oh, yeah. And then they just had this report where they just kind of swept everything under the carpet, got these scientists from NIST, which is a government agency, that deals with, you know, buildings and the weights and measures and stuff like that. And so they're scientific. But they manipulated their models to show how the Twin Towers fell, but they never, ever addressed Building 7. And it's like people forget about that one. And it's like, yeah, that was the one below the two towers that went down all by itself for no reason.
Yeah, and she saw Steve.
Yep.
It was like you just put dynamite all around it like they do any other building and just boom, just bring it down. That's what it was like.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the guy that survived that wanted to tell his story got killed. Remember, he died mysteriously. He was supposed to be, like, telling his story. He was supposed to be writing the book or something. The guy that was in Building 7 that got saved by the firefighters. And he was doing a lot of talking. He wanted to speak. And he wanted to speak out about it. And he mysteriously passed away. Like
a
lot of whistleblowers. Yeah, that's what happened to whistleblowers. It's just like snitches in prison. The same thing that happened to snitches in prison happened to whistleblowers. You try to speak out against the government if you want and leak out some information that they don't want out, and you see what's going to happen to your life. Either they're going to put your life in shambles, or you better hope that's what they do because you don't want the other option. You don't want that.
Right.
You better hope they try to make you look like you're crazy.
Yeah. The building in Florida, not to take it off 9/11, but also went down in the pancake form, which is explosives, contrast explosives. And I actually have a videotape showing the explosives going off in that building just before dawn.
Are you serious?
Let me get it, and I'll post it inside the chat. I'm Daily News, by the way, that's in the chat.
Appreciate you sharing this information because, you know what, because here's my thing, right, with that whole thing about the Florida building, right, and I was like, you know what, I started thinking about 9/11, and I was like, you know what, I don't want to start connecting too many dots and start being over the top. I don't know enough because I did a lot of research about 9/11. That's how I knew. I felt confident. Mm-hmm. The research was there, but with this, I didn't want to be a person that's just like, oh, I'm just going to start reaching it every time I see something happen. But now that you're dropping these gems, it's like, oh, damn. Yeah, it did follow free-fall speeds. And, like, that is weird. Like, what is that? But I just didn't have no evidence. So, yeah, I appreciate you sharing something to look into because that's crazy. This stuff has to get talked about. We have to adjust these things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Bobby.
I mean,
Don't forget to inform her about the relationship shows that you have.
Oh, sure. Go ahead,
Tate. So the relationship show?
Yes.
Yeah, the relationship shows that you have. You know, same time, same bat channel. Instead of talking politics, you talk relationships.
Yeah. I mean, because we do a little bit of everything. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we would definitely welcome you all for, you know, any of that. The relationship shows, we talk about everything, you know. We just one of those shows. You never know. What do you do? Like, what's your? Are you like a you cover politics or like what do you do?
I'm an unemployed health records management person, and but I also have a live broadcast on off of Spreaker.
Oh, cool.
Please leave your information. Like, let us know how to turn
on. Oh, okay. It's Suzette Live Talk on Spreaker.
Suzette,
Pacific time.
Don't we know you?
What's that?
You called the show before, right?
I believe I did.
You called our show before, like some years back, right? Like, it was like a few years ago. I remember that name. I don't remember when you saw. Didn't you used to be on BTR?
Yes, I sure did. Ideas of World Poop Radio had asked me to come on board, and so and basically I just get to do my thing, and it doesn't cost me anything. They pay for everything, so I said, okay, why not?
Right. Sure. Right, because, you know, this, the BCR thing does cost money out of pocket, for sure. Wow, this is shoes up. This is a this is one of our old friends, man. From this is like some years ago. I had different hosts, like I had different calls and everything. I give you a round of applause for calling back, man. I did that. Wow, too good.
Thank you.
I remember. I think you was talking on Twitter. You was DMing on Twitter. This was years ago because we. You was, I think, asking us to come on your show, and we was like, you know, you recorded a few shows, and we had some discussions, talked about different things. I remember that. I remember. I do remember.
Yeah,
that.
It was quite a while ago.
Matter of fact, you want to leave your social media for the listeners, and so you know.
Oh, okay. Suzette Live, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I cover news, current events, but mostly I like to delve a little bit deeper into the administrations that are at hand and what they're doing, you know, from the warp speed vaccines to our Department of Justice and what they're doing right now as far as we are part of the UN, because the UN is connected to what is called Christchurch Call. And they are the New Zealand and New Zealand organization that when they had their terrorist attack that two mosques were had a gun active shooter and had shot some people there. And out of that, they formed Christchurch Call. And Christchurch Call hired the group called GIFT, which is a global terrorist. They try and track down and stop terrorists, but they guess who they're made up of, and they admit it on their form. You can go to GIFT, which is GIFCT.org, and that is Microsoft, that is Google, that
oh,
is
oh boy
yep. And so they determine who gets to stay online. They've been in effect since 2017, which I had no idea until recently. But that is who is the Justice Department is working with to take people offline who they deem has terrorist activities, so domestic terrorist activities. So this is May.
And nowadays, if you're a dissident is somebody who believes that the election may have been fraudulently handled and stolen from Trump, or if you criticize the Biden regime, I wouldn't even call it the Biden administration, you can be considered a domestic terrorist. It just came out about a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, I'm talking officially, and not labeling you specifically, but it's pretty close to it. They are saying that the people in the government have to look out for certain people with certain characteristics, and if you're a person that believes that the election was stolen, or if you believe in the Second Amendment, you could be labeled a domestic terrorist. It's only a hop, skip, and a jump away from being actually labeled a domestic terrorist. This is just the precursor. Yeah.
They're censoring everybody down. Everybody's getting censored. You know, you can't even.
We
talk
just
about
did a show
that
on that on censorship. We just did a show about that because they do. Because I remember when I did a little 9/11 tribute a few years ago on YouTube, and I was talking about some of the same things we were talking about tonight, they flagged me for hate speech and removed my video. And all I did was my opinion, my personal opinion, based on actual research from accredited sources.
My YouTube channel. All I mentioned was the nanotechnology that's in the COVID, like in the vaccines, and my channel got taken down because I mentioned.
Yeah, your video. Yeah, they removed your video.
Right, my video from YouTube. So
yeah, they
really
sent from like misinformation.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's another misinformation. I put the Listen, you can put in, I read what nanotechnology was. Like, I literally Googled it and read what it said.
Actually,
you know,
read the article.
I read the article, like, literally.
He stated his source. That's crazy. And he got they act like he just made up some went on some rant and just started talking about how the government da 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 da. It wasn't even like that. And they still flagging to take his video down.
As a former head of the bioweapons department from years and years and years ago. He was on Alex Jones years ago. And he was on Alex Jones in the past year and a half. And he's talking about how COVID is actually a bioweapon. Now, that's his forte, being the head of the bioweapons division in the government when he was in the government. He's like 60-some-odd years old. Like, what's his name? Oh, it just skipped my mind. Boyles, I think it is. But, guys, let me tell you, what our government has been doing to us and will continue to do, it's amazing.
So you see what you just said, Joe? You said the vaccine is a bioweapon, right? And see, COVID, the nanotechnology, if you read what nanotechnology is, what it does is it has a lot to do with controlling your DNA. Your DNA, everyone's DNA, like manipulating it. So you're right. What you just said is 100% correct. It has a lot to do with manipulating your DNA and manipulating you. If they can manipulate your DNA, they can manipulate you. So you're 100% right.
And you're breaking down your immune system, so you're more susceptible to infection, to disease, to viruses. So it goes to work in your system. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you catch a cold and it can turn into pneumonia real quick, and from pneumonia into something else, and then pretty soon you're dead.
And that's part of what? Depopulation. Depopulating the planet. Because they already want to take out, I would say, at least 75% of the population.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, we're going to have a whole discussion on this. This is real talk right here. We're going to have to do a whole discussion on this. For sure.
I want to ask the caller something. I hope you come back, because when Tang and Bobby, whoever, Suzette, oh, I know you, Suzette. You go to the Donnie show all the time.
Yes.
Right.
So
you too. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I didn't recognize your voice. Your voice is a lot different.
Suzette, like we say in the hood, that's the homie right there. That's the homie.
Yeah, you have a show on Tuesday. Don goes there every once in a while. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, he sure does. He's a great guy. Everybody's actually great on the show.
Oh, yeah. Don't tell him that, though. All right, don't tell him. Don't, okay? Please don't. All right, because I always like to kid him, so. That's the show I was telling you guys about on Saturdays at 9 p.m. That's
Oh, that's the show you that you be talking about.
Right.
Suzette be on that show.
Right. No, Suzette, every once in a while, goes to that show, but Suzette has her own show on Spreaker on Tuesdays, which Donnie goes to, I think, like almost every other week. Right, Suzette?
Yep. All right. When I get
Suzette has interesting topics. Oh, yeah. Because
we had some great discussions with Suzette. This is some like a few years back, but we've had some great discussions. Where have you been at, Suzette? We haven't heard from you in so long. What's been going on?
I'm just bouncing around trying to remember when shows were coming on the air, and I thought you guys had gone off the air. I looked for you and hadn't found you. And I was like, hey.
We were gone for a whole year, and then we came back because it was too much stuff going on in the world. And once COVID hit, I said, it was shut down. Everything was shut down. Everybody was home, and it was like that was the time that it was time to bring the show back because it was too much going on, and there was things that needed to get talked about. We was dealing with this COVID stuff and everything. It was all new to us, and that's when we came back, and we've been back ever since.
That's good.
If I remember, you believe the Twin Towers was not hit by planes. Am I correct?
I actually don't know what happened there. I believe it was a demolition job just because of the way it went down. There's no other explanation. Now, how it began, whether it was a military plane and some type of imagery that made it appear as though it were, so then the explosives were set off at that point. I don't know. But I do know that it wasn't the commercial airplane that was claimed to have had all those passengers on, flew and made that bank and came in low at those speeds. That's been refuted numerous times by different specialists and researchers and scientists as far as the capabilities of that type of jet at those speeds making that turn. And it's impossible, physically impossible.
You're right.
You know, I go with that.
Pilots have said that human beings could not have made the turn that was necessary in order to turn around to hit the Twin Towers. It had to have been done by remote control. And it's standard policy, if I remember correctly, to have remote control in the Boeing 747s or whatever model plane that they were at the time. So it's it's very possible that under remote control, our government, if the planes hit the towers, that the government did it via remote control.
Yes, it's possible. Very
we know that definitely has the capability.
When people think drones for the military, they're still picturing in their heads these little drones that are flied, through private entities like us. But military drones are almost the size of real airplanes. I don't see why it wouldn't be a remote control, flying into the towers.
And I've seen some documentaries, but they were saying that those faces, those infamous faces of the so-called hijackers during 9/11 that supposedly had flew the planes into the building and everything. They were saying that they seen they were alive, they were seen since then, the people that were the hijackers. They were definitely seen after that. So what is that about?
Well, because the only planes that were flown out that day was from Saudi Arabia, or to Saudi Arabia. No other planes were allowed to fly that day. Everything was grounded except for a couple of flights to Saudi Arabia or to,
And don't forget they was engaging in war games. Because don't forget, they're supposed to be able to send fighter pilots out within a matter of minutes. And the Pentagon is supposed to be the highest guarded, the most guarded space in America, hands down. This means to be able to send fighter pilots out there within minutes to infiltrate any threat. But they said they were engaged in war games that day. And because they were engaged in war games that day, that they weren't prepared to get out so fast like they normally would. They said the fighter pilots should have been able to be there for minutes, way before that threat even got close to them buildings.
Anytime you get close to the airspace, you get a warning across your radio in your plane or helicopter as far as the airspace that you're entering, and to turn around. And at that point, when those alarms go off, that's when our military gets their jets ready in case that person's not turning around. Not to mention that we have
out the air.
Yes.
Before they let you hit any of the Pentagon or any big spaces with a lot of people, they will blow you out the air, even if passengers are on. They have no choice. Because
because you were all right,
maybe 100 people die to avoid 3,000 people dying. You know what I mean? It's one of those things. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You cut off your, if you have cancer and you got cut off your leg, if you don't, if they don't cut off your leg, your whole body's going to die. You're going to die.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So it's one of those things. Yeah, it's crazy.
That's why they needed the mind control.
You were talking mind control with the nanotechnology. What you want to look into is it's called TI victims, targeted individuals. These targeted
TI
individuals.
TI victims?
Yes. Or targeted individuals, either way. You'll find information on that. Now, Bill Binney used to work with the NSA. He is a whistleblower and left the NSA. And he was speaking out about this and still is kind of underground, so to speak, and working with the people or the victims of TI. These people are receiving either microwave attacks, you know, the EMF signals from the satellites and being harassed in that manner. Also, there is a, what is it, like a mind control technology that DARPA had created where they can, and they talk about it in the Science magazine. I'll have to find that article. But and what they can do is connect to your brain and basically see out your eyes. So they were going to put this technology in bugs, insects, so that they could get insects to do what they want to, you know, and also be able to see what the insect is seeing, just like they're seeing what you're seeing. And they have this capability, and they talk about it, and it's like supposed to be, you know, for warfare. And it's like, yeah, sure, shut up. You're doing it on people who are suffering from it worldwide. You're doing it on your own citizens as well as other people, you sick puppies, you. but they're.
Let's not be shy, Suzette. These sick scumbags.
It's like we all being monitored. We got these smartphones, too. It's like, forget about it. It's no more privacy, man. All the technology and stuff, these TVs, these phones and stuff, you just never know it's probably not hard for them to tap right into our phones, our cameras. You know what I mean? Like,
it's not.
Sure.
Of course.
Yep.
They, I think it was either Apple or even Google, they're supposed to be able to, part of their agenda now is to actually implant remotely the equivalent of an app into your phone so that they can trace you. The guise is they want to contact track you to find out if you have COVID. So they can do this without your permission. So this is what I've read. Whether or not it's true, who knows, but I wouldn't put anything past the government.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to Google TI victims, and you know what is coming up with? The rapper TI. Like, I can't even find. Yeah, it's not coming up with.
Okay, I'll put a link into the chat room.
Okay,
there it is.
Yeah.
And this is from Veterans Today magazine, and so you know it's a military magazine. So we have targeted individuals, a member of the worldwide campaign against electronic torture, abuse, and experimentation. So the type of mental and, brain, whatever they get into your brain, is called artificial telepathy 101. Also the shocking menace of satellite surveillance, remote neural monitoring, and electric brain links. That's the one I was talking about where they can see out your eyes and get you to do what they want you to do. also silent massacre, electronic stalking, and mind control in the USA. It's on that page of that link I posted in the chat room there.
Awesome.
Well, I'm not in the chat. What's the name of the is there any headline?
All right.
Is there any headline or any name?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's the name of the page so that I can use the keyword to look it up?
Targeted individuals?
If you copy the link in the chat room.
Yeah, but I'm not in the chat.
Oh, okay.
I'm not in the chat.
Okay, look up veteransday.com. And then
veteransday.com. Okay.
Uh-huh. And then the search area, look up targeted individuals.
Ah, okay, thanks.
And it'll take you to the page.
Mm-hmm. All right, good. I'm going to write that down.
This is great, y'all. Sharing this information. This is what it's all about because it's like we don't have really much. Most of the platforms they're flagging and censoring us for having these discussions. So like I was saying, BTR has never pulled any of my videos, not videos, but my discussions any of our discussions, they've never pulled it, never flagged me or anything. So far, so good with BTR. But if they were to ever go, like, mainstream and get big and have big investors and stuff, you can rest assured that it will probably start happening here, too. So let's utilize this platform as long as we can to get this information out, because this is not a platform for people who – this is not like a mainstream platform. This is like a platform for people who want real information, people like us, that we can sit here and we can have adult conversations, but we can talk our talk and we can talk real information, share real information, and not have to worry about being censored. You know what I mean? Remember, years ago, Blog Talk was going crazy. It was a lot of hosts and there was a lot of discussions going on and stuff. But distraction is like the key, the number one way to keep us, to keep the people silenced and keep the people from being together and on the same wavelength and knowing what's going on and being able to, you know, stand up against it. You know what I mean? So they have, like, Instagram Live, Facebook Live, and all this YouTube stuff, and all you can get views, and all that stuff starts happening, and people just want to be a part of getting views or being, like, going viral and all that stuff, and it distracts from, like, stuff like this, the stuff that's going on. We try to have these real conversations, but only people who are on the same wavelength, who care about this stuff. You know what I mean? Who care about, you know, the world, who care about America, who care about their right to free speech and stuff, that, you know what I mean? We're lucky, you know what I mean? We have to definitely utilize these resources, these platforms and stuff, because it's not main left. I'm telling you, I was just Facebook jail the other day. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you got to watch everything you say. I use resources. It doesn't even matter. State your sources and everything. It doesn't matter. You just violated. They don't care about none of that. Like, you violated our policy. And if you do it too many times, we're going to ban you completely. You know what I mean? So that's how they keep people censored.
You spoke about something we don't want people to know about or talk about. So you're
exactly
gone. You're suspended.
Right. Exactly. So let us stay here with our so-called tinfoil hats on and have these discussions. At the end of the day, we know what's going on. You know what I mean? We know what's going on. So we all on point, and we keeping each other on code. And we pass this information to, we can't say it to everybody, right? Most of your friends and family not going to want to hear it. Okay, yeah, I hear you. But anyway, so, you know, what's going on later? We going out? People don't want to hear these discussions, you know what I mean? They don't want the education. They don't want to know what's really going on, you know what I mean? So
even
the people
Alex
who
Jones
are open-minded enough. Right.
Yeah. Right.
They haven't listened to him. Half of his family, I think, have gotten COVID. And he said to them, don't take the vaccine. And I think half of those people took the vaccine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is the whole thing with the booster shot, you know. They're really talking about this booster shot thing now. Like, it's like out of nowhere, this became like a real thing. Because remember, they kept saying, all right, two shots, one shot for Johnson & Johnson, two shots for Moderna and Pfizer, right? And that's just like, all right, that's it. You know, you should be good. And now they're really pushing this booster shot thing. Like, out of nowhere, they're like, well, you know, yeah, you'll be good, but if you get this booster shot, then you'll really, really be good. And I think this is going to keep going. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? It's going to keep getting new shots. You got
to
get new booster shots because it's a new variant out. It's going to keep going.
Have you heard about the new variant? I'm not talking about the Delta variant either. Have you heard about the new
one? There's another new one.
There's another new one. I heard about it. And
I heard about it too.
Is it in China or something like that, supposedly?
It's this very, very virulent, very deadly virus. It has a 75% death rate, is what I read. 75% as opposed to 2% mortality rate with the coronavirus family. So they're stepping up their game.
Wow. Well, like,
This is a whole different virus. Right. This is not COVID. This is a completely different family. Suzanne, have you heard about the symposium by Mike Lindell?
Yes.
what was your opinion of it?
Gosh, I don't know. I think that they're on the right track, but I think that their hopes of having the president replace the other president is not going to happen, you know, just because there's never been precedent for it, and that's just not going to happen. But as far as the shenanigans that had gone on, absolutely, they've had some of the computer scientists and stuff. Go ahead.
Yeah. Tay, Bobby, are you guys aware of Mike Lindell's cyber symposium that he had about a week or so ago?
No,
I don't know about that.
Okay. Well, Mike Lindell is a very, very ardent supporter. Yeah, is a very ardent supporter of Trump. What he had done is that he had gotten together some IT people, and they told him that they had recorded every single vote of the 2020 election. And it was captured in what was called captured packets. I forget the exact image packet, something like that. But the whole premise of what Lindell was presenting was that these particular images of all the votes, all the Democratic votes, Republican votes, and proving that the election was stolen from Trump, and that these particular images of all the votes could not be altered. So he put together a symposium, I think it was the beginning of August, and he had a $5 million reward out. Anybody who could prove that what he presented as proof was not proof would win the $5 million. So nobody came forward. Well, I think two people. One person was supposedly a plant on Mike Lindell's team, and I think there was another person who said, well, what you presented as image packets are not true image packets, and therefore you do not prove that Trump's election was stolen from him. So he wanted the $5 million, but Lindell was fighting it. So it's actually a fascinating thing that he had done. But it's still up in the air. Whether or not he actually proved anything or whether somebody disproved it, I don't know.
Wow,
that's crazy.
That's crazy. Yeah.
I wanna get your opinion because you got to wind down. I wanna get y'all's opinion on the troops leaving, evacuating. That's probably what it is. Evacuating Afghanistan. Like, I wanna get y'all's opinion. Let's go with Suzette first. Let that ladies go first. Then we wanna hear from Joe. Suzette, what was your opinion on the troops evacuating Afghanistan? Did you agree with it? Did you approve of it? Was you disappointed? You think they should have stayed? What was your thoughts?
Well, I think that most people would agree it was time to leave. It was time to leave a long time ago. But, and again, most people would agree that the approach that was taken was badly executed. And I think it was intentional, because you don't make that many mistakes and then try and come back and say you had victory when you were the ones that created the situation itself. You know, the original plan to evacuate, there were conditions and things that were set in place that Biden totally twisted and did his own way. And it's been talked about, you know, rumors as far as Biden wanted to get it done before September 11th so he could claim victory in his presidency. As far as, it was 20 years ago, and here we are, and I ended it, and it's all great now, and I'm the hero. And so that was the push and why it was so badly executed. The approach he went by in order to serve himself was bad, and it was wrong, very wrong, and lives were lost because of it, and lives are still in jeopardy over it. And I don't agree with bringing them all here, because there's going to be some ones that are really pissed off because of what we did and why they have to come here, why they had to leave their homes. So we are creating a terrorist hotbed here just because of their being pissed off, which I would be too. So basically that's my opinion. That's you.
Okay. Joe?
Well, you mirrored my opinion, especially with regards to the 112,000 Afghans who are being UN listed over here, because not just a few are going to be pissed off, if you're the member, the citizen of a country who for 20 years has been bombed, have had your neighbors, your relatives, your mother and your father died as a result of NATO bombing, or primarily because of the United States being in charge of that, and now you have to go to the country that did it, I don't think they're going to be grateful. I don't blame them. They are going to be, they're going to be a disaster. It's a disaster in waiting. 112,000 people, members, citizens of the country, that has been attacked by the United States, brought over here to the country that's done it, and people think that, well, what could go wrong? Well, I can tell you. How about not only false flags, but how about a hell of a lot of chaos at the hands of the Afghans who want revenge perpetrated upon the people who have killed their friends, neighbors, and relatives? How about that? 112,000 over here. That's not stupidity. That's even more than negligent homicide. That is committing treason against the American people, flat out in our face.
Yeah, that is. It is crazy. Because it's like, you don't know how many infiltrators, you know, how many people who might be in bed with the Taliban or any of those other groups of people over there who mean America no good. And all of those people coming here, it's just no, there's no way to, what's the word I'm looking for?
There is no justification for it.
Yeah, but vet, there's no way to vet them. There's no way to vet all those people.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like how? You said 100,000 people? Like that's, you know what I mean? It's just like, all right, let's just hope they all mean well. Like, I mean, I get it, because you understand. That's not that many people. There's no way all of those people are all just like coming here singing Kumbaya. No way. But the difference standard to justify it is that.
Right.
Boy Joe?
Think of this. 112,000 Afghans. If just 1% of them, which is 1,000, have a real animus towards the United States and are bent on revenge, just 1,000, okay? It's chaos. Because in this country we have freedom of movement. They can move around from state to state, city to city, and do whatever they want. Plus,
they're
going to
have more benefits than us. They're going to have government grants. They're going to have housing. They're going to have
everything
they need to get on their feet.
God, yeah. Oh, man, we're in such trouble.
They're going to have their stores. They're going to have everything they need.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to set them up well, and you don't know which one of them might be, you know, setting up something sinister, you know?
Yeah. And I don't blame them. I don't blame them. One country, our country,
when we attacked them back, when we first went over to Afghanistan and attacked, you can rest assured a lot of innocent Afghans died from those attacks, all those missiles and bombs dropped over there. And
absolutely,
that war started. That's people's cousins, friends, aunts, uncles, mothers, grandmas, all of that. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, you figure we've been there dealing with them, the Afghan people, and then we stick the Taliban on them. First we put Russia on them, and then we needed to get Russia out so that we stick the Taliban. And this is back what's her name? Eva Brzezinski on MSNBC. I don't know what her first name is. Mia Brzezinski. Anyway, her father, Mika, that had said back then that, oh, yeah, this is the way we like to do it, where we don't get involved, where we set up these organizations like the Taliban, and we organize them, and then we send them in so we don't have to go in. And so we let them, you know, and we set up another group over here to take those people out. And he had an interview, and he had no problem talking about it. And he was under the Carter administration and under who else? Oh, gosh, another president. And basically worked for both of them doing the same thing. So we created all of that mess, you know, and yes, we, I mean, as far as the poor refugees, because if they go home, they're going to get killed by the Taliban that we created. And if they stay here, you know, they don't speak English. They're going to stay in their own community. So basically, they're going to build up their own little community, and then the anger is going to build from there, and then they're going to plot. Yeah, it could be. I don't know. But I know if I were them, I would be really ticked off being, you know, displaced and not being able to go home. I'm basically stateless now. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Not all of them, but there are going to be some angry ones. Again, you know, don't blame them for being angry.
What do you think about Biden blaming the Afghan troops, soldiers in the Afghan army for basically cowering, you know what I mean, and fleeing and leaving the United States high and dry, and that being the reason why, other than the fact that they're saying Donald Trump started it when he signed to the agreement to withdraw American troops, you know, so the negotiation had already started. But aside from that, the Afghan troops and army just kind of fled, and just like the Taliban just instantly just kind of just gained power and took over. And it was one of those things where, this is what Biden's saying, that if we stay, we go back on that agreement of being gone by a certain time, and now there's bloodshed, we don't need to lose any more American lives on a war that we have no interest in at this point. What are your thoughts on that, as far as like that being Biden's stance?
Well, after Biden had taken office, the Taliban had already started going through Afghanistan and started taking over cities. So they were on the move already. So at that point, Biden should have canceled his date that he said he would have everybody out by, because as he keeps reminding people, Donald Trump said he would have them out by May 31st. And Biden had made the date later, and at that point, he should have canceled it, knowing that the Taliban was on the move taking over these cities. Now, the Americans had given up their airport or their base that they had there with all their equipment and everything that they had, and went into Kabul airport there and started to fight off the Taliban there. Why? I don't know, when they had everything that they needed at the airbase. And the fighters, the Afghan fighters, basically were used to having air support during their fighting, when they did any fighting. And so they didn't know how to do man-to-man, or however they call it, fighting on the ground, because they were helped out. You know, airstrikes would come in and take everything out, so they really didn't have to do anything. So, you know, when at the point that we were fighting at the Kabul airport, the Taliban, then they made peace for a moment so that people could get out. We had already surrendered the country before then, when we had left our base, our air base, which never should have been done. What should have been done was we should have kept the air base, even though the Taliban was moving into Kabul, but at least we had everything that we needed there at the base to hold it until we got all Americans out, and then take the troops out. But they took the troops out, they took out all the contractors, they took out Afghan people, because not even the people that were on the planes were interpreters or dual citizens, were finding out. They were mostly just the Afghan people, which is fine, refugees, whatever, but have a plan. Don't just, you know, throw them all on a plane not knowing who they are at that point. But now Jen Psaki is saying, well, we wouldn't bring them to our airports, you know, our bases, until we vetted them, and so we don't want to bring any more people here until we do that. And it's like, well, you didn't do that in the beginning. You know, you went and got them at the hurried moment, because everybody else was already gone. So now you have people like trying to hang on the planes and get in the planes, and it was just a big chaos, big mess. So, you know, there was nothing much that wasn't done that turned it into chaos. So like I said earlier, it was intentional, because why would you remove your military first before you remove any Americans? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. You lost all leverage at that point, and then you give up like your weaponry. They got like the vehicles and stuff, and then you sit here and you watch like I was about to call them damn Al Qaeda Caliban, you see them like, you know, driving through the streets, raising the United States, you know, rifles and guns up and riding when the U.S. Army's like vehicles and military vehicles.
Black Hawk helicopters.
All of the helicopters, all of that. And it's like, man, like, all this talk about America, this and that, and we get the strongest military and the best everything, and it just, I don't know, it just looks, I mean, I personally support the idea of American troops definitely being pulled out of there, with gains there, and too many lives have been lost. But, like, I agree with everybody as far as, like, it's just the way it went down, it looks bad, and it makes us look weak. It makes the United States military look weak. It just makes us look weak because we're like the measuring rod for the world. Like, yeah, that's right there. That's the military, and that's how you stand firm, and that's how you move right there. We need to all try to be like them, but it's just been chaotic between our politics. The way this withdrawal or this evacuation, everything, it makes us look bad. The division between Democrats and Republicans, looking like Bloods and Crips, the politics version, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Can't be on the same page. Everybody fighting in the brutal attack on the what was that? The Capitol building, like, because we all can't just be on the same page. You got to be far left, you got to be far right. All of that stuff just makes us look bad. Like, you know what I mean? That's why I hate the idea of the division of politics. The divide, it does is cause division. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And look at us now. Look at how we look now.
Yeah. Yep. You know, when you have people who are acting in the interest of lobbyists and not the people they're supposed to represent, that's what happens. You know, now they're fighting for in D.C. as far as for their people that lobby them and give them campaign money. So they're just interested in getting reelected so they can still do only stuff for the people that give them money, you know, basically.
They give them money.
And,
right. Not even really the party, the political party that they represent, but the investors.
mm-hmm.
The money. That's what it's all about, the almighty dollar.
Look at all the money that we left over there in Afghanistan when you think about it. The equipment. Why wasn't any of that brought back? Any of it at all? And we were told, it was said by Jen Psaki that it was too expensive to bring back and we didn't have time. And it's like, what do you mean you didn't have time? All you had to do was call off that date and stretch it out a little bit longer. You know, no problem. But no. That's taxpayer money right now that the Taliban are flying around in and using. And we were told, well, that's all right. We decommissioned all of everything, so it's not going to be of any use to it. Well, they decommissioned some of it, meaning they made it worthless to them. But the rest of the majority of it is all in working condition that can be used against us. So we are taxpayers who pay
against
that equipment
us,
and the Taliban use against us. Oh, my God.
And use against us and use to terrorize their own people.
Sick. What the hell? Stupid virus.
It is.
Man.
Man, oh, man. I tell you, Suzette, man, one more time for you because it's been so long, man.
Thank you.
It's been so long, but it is so great to hear from you. Old friend of the show. You know, used to call in and engage in these discussions with us, and here we are years later, right back at it with all this stuff going on. Definitely appreciate you. I know you left your information for your show. I'm glad you did, too. Yeah, we air every Tuesday. We only air on Wednesday because yesterday I was just too out of it. I told Bobby, my co-host Bobby G, I said, man, I can't do it. I got to get some sleep. I couldn't do it. So we normally air on Tuesdays at 10 p.m. Eastern. I think you're Pacific time, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're in California, right? Yeah, so 7 your time. Yeah.
Okay.
We air 10 Eastern every Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
What was that?
Oh, I was just saying it's 7 p.m. Yes, you're right.
Yeah. So one more time, I want you to leave your information as far as like how people can catch your show.
Okay. You can go to Spreaker.com, look up Suzette Live Talk, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Tuesday evening. And I'd love it if you join me. You can call in. You can chat in the chat room, tune in.
Okay. Do you have any social media? You still got Twitter? I know we used to communicate on Twitter.
Yeah. No, I left Twitter and I'm in the process of leaving Facebook. I got to gather all my images and stuff that I posted. But, yeah, I'm leaving the social media on that front, the mainstream. It's just a mess. There's nobody there that wants to listen, and it's like, all right, fine, I'm wasting my time.
When I
get a new handle somewhere, I'll let you know. Oh, I'm on Telegram. Under Suzette Live.
What's that? Telegram? Wait, do you have an email address? Do you have an email? Or are you? Is this something that you're comfortable giving over the air?
Yeah, that's fine. It's encrypted, and I can block whoever I want to block. So it's obscuresapphire@protonmail.com.
Whoa. That seemed like a lot. Hold on. Say that again.
Obscure.
Mm-hmm.
@protonmail.com.
obscuresapphire@protonmail.com.
That's it.
Obscure. So that it'll be obscuresapphire@protonmail.com.
Sapphire is S. Let me see. A. P. H.
I thought it was PH, but I'm using the spell corrector thing. It's just a spell check thing.
Like the gem, sapphire. You know, you have diamonds, ruby, sapphire.
Yeah.
Felt like that.
SAPHIRE.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Obscure. OBSCURE, right?
Yes.
Okay. obscuresapphire@protonmail.com. Got it.
Perfect.
And you know what? It's realtalkradio@gmail.com. realtalkradio@gmail.com. And that's for all the listeners as well. You know, so anybody want potential guests or, you know, want to network or, you know, want to, you know, leave a comment or something that you don't really want to call in, but you want to share some thoughts that you want us to share on air, it's realtalkradio@gmail.com is how you can email us.
Realtalkradio@gmail.com.
Yep, it's real.
Okay.
A lot of people think our show is Real Talk Radio, but the word ITS is a part of the title. There's many Real Talk Radios, so where it's Real Talk Radio at Gmail.
Okay, is there apostrophe S or just S?
Well, not in the, you know, you can't use an apostrophe in the email. But as far as the actual, like, logo, you'll see the apostrophe. But as far as the Gmail goes, the email is no apostrophe.
Oh, okay.
So that is the way that we can communicate, Suzette. Yeah, for sure. That's the way we can communicate. A lot of communication we can have, so if we ever, you know, we can throw some ideas, you know, to each other. I might have an upcoming show that I want you to get on, so it'd be good to be able to have that line of communication with you. So now I know that when I need to communicate with you, I'll shoot you that email, and you do the same for us. You want a certain topic you want us to call in for or something, shoot us that email, and we'll, graciously, you know, come on and kick it with you.
I love it. Thank you. Sounds good to me.
Yeah, that's great.
All right, guys.
Thank you very much for
taking my call. Okay. Take care.
Yeah, for sure. Take care. All right. So, Bobby, you there? You there, Bobby? I ain't heard nothing from Bobby yet. Bobby, you there? Mr. Bobby G.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, there we go. I ain't heard from you in a minute. I think you was on mute.
Yeah, I was on mute for a minute.
Yeah, but that was cool. You was, you know, one of your old, you know, people that you used to kick it with was back on. That's great. That's a great thing.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And that's what it's all about, building bridges. You know what I mean? Oh, one more thing, because this is going to kick us off anyway. But I just want to read the things that Suzanne has said in the chat, because, you know what I mean? I didn't even know she was in the chat. I want to make sure that the things that she said didn't just go in vain for nothing. So this was before she called in. These are the statements that she made in the chat. She said, Bill Clinton stopped CIA from killing Bin Laden before 9/11. Then she said, the Bush family was CIA and knew Bin Laden. Then she said, neocons on both sides of the aisle in D.C. experiment on black men. Then she said, yes, you are correct about genocide. And she said, when you hear the phrase going down the rabbit hole, means exactly researching and deeper researching and more researching. So I just wanted to make sure I mentioned the statements that Suzette made in the chat room, because here, you know, we want to make sure people get their thoughts out, their points across, and nothing is going in vain, not even in the chat. And that goes to anybody else that calls in or is in the chat room. We want to make sure that your voice gets heard, because that's what we do. It's Real Talk Radio. This is about the people. It's the people's platform. So, you know, what we say on the Real Talk side, regardless of your political views, you call it how you want to say whatever you choose or something like that. I think that's how it goes. Something like that. You would think I would know my own rhymes, right? But yeah, it don't matter your political views. You can, however you see it, man, whatever you choose, like, just speak your mind. Speak your mind. And that's what we're here for, to allow you to do that. You know, one of the last lines of free speech, and we're just trying to make sure that we utilize it to the most of our ability, because you never know when they're going to come for BTR as well. So, that said, shout out to Joe. Shout out to Suzette for joining us. You know, definitely helped make for some great talking points, great discussions, and some even future discussions. You know, we've still a lot more to talk about, and we will be talking about these things in the upcoming weeks. So stay real, Bobby G. It's Real Talk Radio. We'll see y'all next week, next Tuesday at our normal time, 10 p.m. Eastern time. Hopefully nothing else happens and makes us have to, do a different day. But if nothing goes down, then you can definitely catch us on Tuesday, 10 p.m. Eastern time. Stay real, Bobby G. It's Real Talk Radio. We're out of here. Peace.